You are listening to TLRStation.com.
A Graceful Journey radio program is where you will hear powerful conversations, insights, and knowledge to help you when family caregiving calls. Host Lorna Scott brings a powerful combination of experience as a family caregiver and professional expertise as a coach and counselor. You will be empowered to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your caregiver journey.
Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to a Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio. My name is Lorna M. Scott, author of the best-selling book, Walking the Journey Together Alone, Finding Peace, Hope, and Joy in the Middle of I'm your host, and I want to start 2016 off with what I consider one of the most important things we can have in our life, and that is gratitude. We are so blessed to have this new year ahead of us. It gives us a time to reflect. Some of you may have already set New Year's resolutions, maybe done some planning, thought about what it is that you want for the year. And some of you may be feeling like it's just, you know, the week into the new year and it's just another day. One of the things that can really help, motivate to really create the life that you want. There's a lot of things in your life that you're getting that you don't want, and you can't control that. So we want to fill your space with something that can give you some peace and move you towards that joy and some even time freedom and getting those important things, the things that you really desire, into your life and take those first next steps to doing that. I've talked about gratitude in nearly every episode, a little bit at the end where I give my three things that I'm grateful for. I believe in the power of gratitude so much. It really helps to maintain a positive and peaceful outlook. And it's just that sense of feeling calm amidst the storm. Henry Ward Beecher gave this wonderful quote, "Gratitude is the fairest blossom which springs from the soul." So what is gratitude? That word gets bantered a lot, and I mean, often we said just be grateful for what you have and, you know, get into the state of gratitude and you'll feel better. The best thing you can do is have that attitude of gratitude. But what does that really mean? Basically, the textbook definition is that it's feeling thankful. It's the state of being grateful and having thankfulness. And being grateful means that you have a feeling of thanks or you want to show thanks to someone for something they've done or for some helpful act. And we take this, or I take this idea and make it even bigger. And this is something that I've learned from many of my mentors and teachers, that gratitude is not only for someone, but for something quite often. And sometimes in our tough days, it's being grateful for the fact that we have flooring to walk on. And that may sound a little goofy, but we want to be grateful for all the things in our life, even the things that we take for granted or don't even think about. And when we're having a tough day, it can be a stretch. And we're going to talk about some tips and habits that you might want to consider to be able to find that gratitude in every day, regardless of what is going on. So gratitude's that feeling and showing of thankfulness and appreciation. So you might be sitting there just wondering, so what the heck do you have to be grateful for? Like, who really asks to be a family caregiver? No one, I would imagine. But here we sit. On lifehack.org, they talk about how to be grateful when things go wrong. And this is quoted from their site. It's certainly easier to be grateful when you are on a winning team and things go in your favor. However, the true test of resiliency and gratefulness is when life does not go your way. If you find yourself losing more than you are winning and can't seem to get over past regrets, disappointments, and life's injustices, gratefulness is overturned by a sense of injustice. Experiencing loss, frustration, and even trauma, especially if we feel blindsided, certainly can make it difficult not to indulge in negative feelings. After all, we might wonder, when things go wrong, what really do we have to be grateful about? So later in the show, I'm going to follow this up with the top 10 habits of grateful people, even when times are tough. And it's from that same website, lifehack.org. And I remember how it felt to wonder how I could be grateful that my husband was dying. That certainly didn't seem to be fair at all. And true enough, it can be a challenge some days to find one thing to be grateful for. Some days just really suck. And when that happens, it's even more important to take a few minutes and ask, what am I grateful for today? You know, I remember thinking about, you know, how could you be grateful when, you know, all these horrible things are happening and life just has a, you know, really crazy twisted turns. And I also remember the weirdness of finding that gratitude for things that I never thought I'd be grateful for, things like chemo. And I mean, really, who would want to be grateful for chemotherapy? But for us, as long as Callum could have chemotherapy, it meant that there was a chance that he was going to live longer and longer and longer. It meant it was working, and that was going to help him live. So I learned to be grateful for those things, even when sometimes it didn't make sense. Gratitude can be a natural antidepressant. And when we take the time to ask what we're grateful for, there's actual neural circuits that are activated. And it produces a couple of chemicals. One is called dopamine and one serotonin. And these travel through your neural pathways and gets to kind of to the bliss part of the brain. It's the happiness center. And it's very similar to what happens when you take an antidepressant pill. Practicing gratitude can be a way to naturally create some of those same effects and create feelings of contentment. And if you combine the gratitude with the things like laughter yoga that we've talked about, you really start helping your brain and those neurons fire even more. And the more that you do this through the practice of gratitude, the stronger and more automatic they become. And on a scientific level, and this might get a little technical, but I want to really emphasize how important gratitude is. There's an example of Hebb's law, which states neurons that fire together wire together. It's also something you can see plainly every day. If you're forging a new path through the woods, the first trip is the most challenging and you have to be deliberate. But the more times the path is traveled, the more defined it becomes and the easier it is to follow it. Your brain works the same way. The more times a certain neural pathway is activated, the less effort it is to stimulate that pathway the next time. So because of this, what we put our attention on grows. If we're constantly looking at the negative and searching for problems, the neural pathways for negative thinking become stronger. But practicing gratitude can shift that attention to look for what is going right instead of looking for problems to solve. Over time, this encourages our brains to consistently search for more constructive things in our life instead of the destructive ones. And this really helps water the flowers instead of watering the weeds. I read on the Change blog about two psychologists, Michael McCullough of Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Texas, and Robert Emmons of the University of California at Davis. And they wrote an article about an experiment they conducted on gratitude and its impact on well-being. The study split several hundred people into three different groups, and all of the participants were asked to keep daily diaries. The first group kept a diary of the events that occurred during the day without being told what to write about, whether it was good or bad. The second was to record the unpleasant experiences, and the last group were instructed to make a daily list of things for which they were grateful. The results of the study indicated that the daily gratitude exercises resulted in higher reported levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and energy. In addition, those in the gratitude group experienced less depression and stress, were more likely to help others, exercised more regularly, and made greater progress towards achieving their personal goals. So after the break, we're going to dive into some of those 10 habits of grateful people, even in the tough times. And I've got a couple of other snippets of information to share with you. You're listening to A Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio.
I didn't order this. Can I send it back? This is one of the powerful Caregiver Mastery signature talks that Lorna M. Scott can bring to your community group, support group, or workplace. She will inspire your audience to change how they think about family caregivers and empower them with key steps for creating a caregiving life by embracing the family caregiver role while putting work, life, family balance back into their lives. Stop the Madness is another popular talk, along with Staying Strong, How to Look After You. Contact Lorna at 403-548-8437 or Lorna at lornamscott.com to book her for your next conference, workshop, seminar, or keynote presentation.
Are you ready to change your perspective? Ready to live outside the box? Then our Fearless Life Workshop is for you. Carrie Ann Barron, owner of TLRStation.com, facilitates this workshop and helps you identify the thoughts, feelings, and actions that may be keeping you from living the life you want. Based on the best-selling book, Fearless Living by Rhonda Britton, the workshop is interactive, experiential, thought-provoking, practical, and fun. Visit TenaciousLiving.org to find out more.
You're listening to Tenacious Living Radio.
Welcome back to A Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio. Before the break, we were talking about gratitude and some of the benefits of gratitude, even some scientific studies. Now, I want to continue just a little bit before we go into those 10 habits to talk about Dr. Emmons, who has been studying gratitude for almost 10 years, and he's considered by many to be the world's leading authority on gratitude. And he has a book. It's called Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier. And the book is about his research involving thousands of people conducted by a number of different researchers around the world. So it's a really in-depth study. One of the things that the studies showed is that practicing gratitude can increase happiness levels by around 25%. Now, this is significant because among other things, there's a certain weight that feels natural to your body. This is what it's kind of like. There's a set point. And your body strives to maintain that certain weight. And the same thing happens with your level of happiness. So you have this basic level, and it's set at a predetermined point. If something bad happens to you during the day, your happiness can drop momentarily, but then it returns to its natural set point. Likewise, you know, if something positive happens to you, then that happiness level rises or it increases. And then again, it returns to your set point. So the practice of gratitude actually raises that set point so you can remain at a higher level of happiness regardless of what's going on. So we want to practice that gratitude and set that happiness set point so it's high and that level, your natural level, stays quite high for you during the day. And the last little bit of research I want to talk about, the New York Times. This just was released in November 2015, and they referenced a scientific study that found that even if you aren't able to think of anything to be grateful for, and You know, we might have days like that. Just simply asking the question is powerful enough to change your brain chemistry. And I talked about those chemicals before the break. The reality is there's always something to be grateful for. So just take a moment now and just quickly think of five things that you have going for you. What are five things that are great? And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be something as simple as, I have clean air to breathe. I have legs to walk on. I have people who love me. Or I have a place to sleep tonight. Those are great places to start for gratitude. Now, I talked about those 10 habits. And here they are. And these are the habits of people who remain steadfast in their ability to be grateful, can temper whatever happens in their life, and just gives them that unwavering attitude of gratitude mindset. So the first one is that grateful people don't expect that life is going to give them everything they deserve. So they've already realized that good things do not always happen to good people, and they've given up on the notion that life owes them anything more than it can offer. Whether it's cancer or death of innocent people or other illnesses, afflictions, unfortunately, that's a part of life. Things like tsunamis and earthquakes, those natural disasters that seem to happen, they can wipe out communities of people. And it really feels unfair and regrettable, and it's definitely tragic. The question really isn't about whether life is unfair, but how we can move on in spite of it. Their second habit is they do not have preconditions to their happiness. They don't think, if this happens, only then I will be happy. They understand that happiness doesn't come from the outside. It's from the inside. We choose to be happy. And they focus on what they need to change in order to feel that happiness again. One of the things that they really stay away from is micromanaging people and things in their lives and things that they're really not in control of. Number three is that people who are grateful have realized that you cannot have the rainbow without the rain. So, you know, it's kind of like you can't have the honey without the bee and you can't have the rose without the thorns. And we want to be grateful for all of it. When you have the rainy days, it's just a normal part of life. It's not an aberration. Nobody's out to get you. You can learn from the rain rather than just wait for it to go away. The people who have that unwavering attitude of gratitude admire the beauty of the rose, even though it has a thorny side, and they savor the sweet taste of honey, even though the bee can sting. So realizing you can not have one without the other, they are grateful for both. And for me, sometimes that's where I have to really consciously think about what I'm grateful for. Because I'm not a winter person, so I'm not really a fan of snow and cold. So when we have blizzards or we've got, you know, 2 or 3 days where it snows constantly, I have to really think about, I'm grateful for the snow. It gives us moisture. We have beautiful seasons, so it changes, and that's something to be grateful for because I can experience both the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter. And it is looking at that and saying, what can I be grateful for? Number four is grateful people have hope. So no matter what happens, hope isn't lost. They know the future's uncertain, and while they plan for it, they don't really get into micromanaging the outcomes. In some of the law of attraction work I do, we talk about we don't worry about the hows. They know it's outside really what they can influence. So they just take comfort in what normally comes, the sun sets and it rises, and that there is more to life. Now, number five, those who are steeped in bitterness and grudges have no space in their heart to be grateful. Forgiving your spouse for not being as understanding as you would have been, forgiving your children for making choices that would not have been your own, and giving up the grudge of a slight or injustice from a friend are all parts of the gratitude equation. forgive others for not acting or being like you had hoped. Forgiveness is really the gift for yourself. It doesn't mean that you accept or what's been done, but it really frees you from that the attitude that you previously had. So being grateful and staying away from the bitterness is really important. So when those people come into your life that kind of cause that bitterness or resentment to rise up, what you want to do is to set limits on how often you're with them. If you can distance yourself altogether, that's great. If you can limit things to, you know, just a couple times a year, an hour at a time, that would be wonderful. As Buddha said, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You are the one who gets burned. Number six, people who are grateful know that a grateful attitude takes work. Gratefulness does not always come naturally, especially in the most challenging times. That's when grateful people work on keeping a good perspective. They might read affirmations, seek support from others, get help for sadness or anxiety. Sometimes even seeking professional help like counseling or a coaching can help support people through those really tough times, and they know they don't have to go it alone. Number seven, grateful people have healthy thinking habits. They go by the motto, think straight, feel great. They can separate their perceptions from the facts and separate rational from being a victim. It's like when you're a victim and you feel like things are happening to you and people are intentionally doing things to you, you get into a victim-like irrational way of thinking. And that changes your self-talk. Things like, they make me so sad, they made me angry, they made me sad. What we want to do is change that self-talk to something that's more like a victor. It's a bit more victory instead of victim. Saying things like, I was mad when they did that, really takes a step and bridges that gap. You know, the all or nothing kinds of irrational thinking, like it's awful and I can't stand it, really should be reserved for only the most life-threatening circumstances rather than everyday petty annoyances. So when there is a flood or fire or death, then it is awful and you can't stand it. But those are really life-threatening things. And, you know, the fact that somebody was 15 minutes late isn't enough to get into that all or nothing thinking. Number eight, grateful people are flexible in their thinking. People who think flexibly are at an advantage in life because they know the key to growth. They don't cling to, you know, with ways of thinking that don't work, and they can see that sometimes it's necessary to shift their attitude or come up with a new idea or a solution. And a personal defeat isn't necessarily wrong. It's just something that happens. They know that they can choose how they perceive things and have a right to change their minds. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you get what you see? So somebody tells you something about a friend and they say, you know, she's selfish, she never pays attention to her husband, she works too much, and the list goes on. And then you start looking at the friend and you start noticing all those things. And then someone else talks about them in a different way and says, you know, she finally took some time for herself, her husband, and she and her husband have decided to go on this big trip, and she's working some overtime so that they can have this trip and this time alone because it's so special for them. Now, that's the same scenario, but two different perceptions. So you can choose what you want to see. And it's just natural for us to see what we're thinking about that person. And that's why sometimes some of us like people and some of us don't. If you can stay away from that, that's better, because it really does close doors to a lot of things if you close down your perception. Number nine, people who love to learn tend to be grateful. So each each setback or things that come up in your life that, you know, we call them lessons, and sometimes that might sound a little cheesy, but it really is true. These are lessons. These are things we can learn from. And grateful people tend to find out what is the learning from the situation and what can they do different and how can that maybe change some attitude in their life. You know, life is a great teacher, and really we get taught lots of things that no one ever could. So even mistakes and failures really are learning opportunities. Number 10, grateful people define their self-worth by their determination and their dreams, not their regrets and disappointments. A grateful mindset has no room for excessive self-recrimination and low self-esteem. People who are stuck in past regrets see themselves as losers in life or as having failed badly, even in the areas of their life that they're really successful and where they're really grateful. Positive self-esteem is what sets the foundation for gratefulness. So if you're down on yourself, this is a good time to go get a mental health tune-up. So what I encourage you to do is to have a gratefulness campaign in your own life. Right now, you can write down 10 things you're thankful for. Some other ways you can practice the gratitude is to have a gratitude journal where you can write down 5 things that day, every day, that you're grateful for. Some people do this in the morning. Some people do this before bed. I've heard that Dr. John DeMartini doesn't get out of bed in the morning until he has been so grateful that he's in tears. One way to start off the new year is to have a gratitude jar where you put in every day one thing you're grateful for. And then at the end of the year, you take all those slips of paper out and you see all the things through the year that you were grateful for. And a couple of things to consider is, who do you need to appreciate? Who do you need to show your gratefulness and your thankfulness to? How will you do that? And when? Cox Ree says, gratitude is an art of painting adversity into a lovely picture. And that is what I truly believe gratitude is. So today I'm grateful for learning new things about gratitude, a new year full of possibilities, a transition into the new part of my business, the Caregiver's Lighthouse. Now, you've been listening for about 4 months. What am I missing? What questions do you have? I want to know. You can find my book on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca, as well as in Europe and Australia. So you can find out more about me by visiting my website, walkingthejourneytogetheralone.com. And again, my passion is to serve you, so please send me questions, suggestions, topics to lorna@lornamscott.com. And tune in next week, Wednesday at 9 p.m., when we'll talk about you and your year coming up. What are the possibilities? What steps can you take to make 2016 the year you want it to be? Till then, may you find peace, hope, and joy in every day. You're listening to a Graceful Journey radio program powered by Tenacious Living Radio.
Thank you for joining us on A Graceful Journey. Interested in learning more about caregiver mastery? An empowering way to meet demands, find balance, all while caring for yourself, that help you find grace, peace, hope, and joy in your journey? Then Lorna M. Scott would love to connect with you. Contact her at lorna@lornamscott.com. We will see you next week, same day and time.